I'm out of it. So, you know, but she made me this. She makes me, or she shows me things like this sometimes. And I just wanted to read it to you tonight. I want you to listen to the wisdom of man. I want you to listen to the wisdom of man. It said, thoughts to ponder as we enter into the new year. It said, we are a nation that accepts pornography. Now, I want you to listen to that right there, because see, that's a bad word right there, and I'm not talking about pornography. I'm talking about accepts. You see what I'm saying? It's still because we've come to a point in this old world that the devil is just slowly and surely taking over everywhere. Just slowly and surely. See, Peter said he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But I've said this time and time again, Satan is not going to come to us as a roaring lion, because if he was a roaring lion, we'd run. We won't want to be around an enemy so great as that. But what he does, he slips one foot under the door at a time and just gradually and slowly creeps in. Because I can remember a time when I was a little boy growing up that word accept didn't go on like it does today. People didn't accept anything just because it was what was going on. And we say, well, we can't fight it. We can't beat it. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't try. We don't stand up for what we ought to stand up for. Says, we accept pornography but do not acknowledge the rampant rise of domestic abuse. A nation that doesn't believe in traditional genders. And I thought that I heard somebody talking one day. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know. But there was a state, and I think it said it was California, said that they were not going to tell the gender of a baby till it got old enough to decide. Now, you know, I have a hard time settling with that and stuff if you don't know if you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. Now, something just a little bit silly about that kind of stuff right there. Now, you say what you want to. I'm not trying to be offensive to anyone. I'm just telling the flat-out truth. If you don't know if you're a boy or a girl, there's a little bit of something that just ain't hitting just exactly right. It said, a nation that doesn't believe in traditional genders, now, but listen, but fights for women's rights. We're being a little silly. We're a nation that believes no child should be left behind, but we've aborted over 60 million. Can you see how silly that is? You get up and you give a big long speech, I don't want a child in this school left behind. But we got to do something about this one that's coming into the world today. We've got to kill that one. Now this is man's wisdom, and I want you to listen to man's wisdom. So we are a nation where our heroes have died so our flag could fly free over a nation. But then we give the title heroes to wealthy athletes who kneel in disrespect. I'll tell you something about that as far as I'm concerned. If you can make the kind of money that they make somewhere else and you're mistreated here, then go somewhere else and make your money. If your feelings are hurt here, I wouldn't hang around where my feelings is hurt. Of course, I'm pretty hard to hurt my feelings, I'm going to be honest with you. So we are a nation where political parties ignore the corruption of their own party while condemning the corruption of the other. We are a nation of laws, yet we are a nation where that only applies if you are politically powerful or extremely wealthy. We are a nation that has "In God We Trust" printed on our money, but we are a nation where the ACLU sues people who makes his name known in public. Said, we're the greatest nation on earth. And I'm going to tell you something about that right there. I'd be careful about saying things like that. We're the greatest nation on earth. Because when you go to bragging on yourself, you can look out because you are heading for a fall. Now, I'm just telling you, if you want to brag on somebody, let's brag on the Lord how good he is to us. Let's brag on the Lord because he's worthy to be bragged on. Look what he does for us every day that we live, how good he is to us. The salvation he purchased for us. He gave it the best thing he could give, which was His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. The greatest and the best thing He could give, He gave for the lives of us. And as Brother Mike said, we got what we deserved. Every one of us was burned in hell. Every one of us. There's not one person sitting in here under my voice, including my sorry self, that was worth the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He shed on an old rugged cross. Not one of us. Not one of us. For the way we do and the way we act. Sarah, we are a nation the richest on earth, and yet we have a nation where 14 million children live in poverty. 1 in 6 wake up and go to bed hungry each and every day. We are a nation that pledges we are one, yet a nation of aggressive division. Listen now. And we wonder why there is so much confusion. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible tells me. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So if you got confusion going around, if you're around a whole lot of that, then you need to introduce God into it. I think that's one thing we fall short on our jobs and our everyday lives, and that's being a witness for the Lord. For us to talk to people about Jesus. If you got your Bibles, let's look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Pick back up with verse 17. He said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now listen, he's talking to the church. He said that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, or the vainness of their mind, which is of no value. Said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The Bible's talking here about walking as Gentiles do in the world, which is just what I just read you, a small piece of the way the world thinks. And I'm going to tell you something else too. And I may be sort of chasing a rabbit here, but we talk about thinking like man. And when we think like man, we do like man. We act like man. And God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to act like Jesus. The Bible tells us over and over in the Scriptures that we are to strive to be like the Lord. We're supposed to be maturing as Christians as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about this thing. I've shared this with you, what my daddy said about me one time. He said, "You might ask him something, but you're not going to tell him nothing." And I was about 15 or 16 when daddy said that about me. And I've never forgot that. And I'm fixing to be 63 years old. And I still remember my daddy saying that, because I had to ask myself a question. Well, is that the way you really think, Lee? Do you actually know everything? But you know, I didn't dwell on that long enough. I didn't think on that long enough, because as I went through life, I failed more and more and more. We should want to have wisdom, but we don't need our wisdom. We need God's wisdom, and we need to strive for God's wisdom every day that we live. I'm going to read you some scripture. Let me see. Because this got on my mind when I was studying during the course of this month. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now I want you to listen to what the scripture says there, that we're going to sow what we reap. Now, that's not a possibility, that is a fact. Whatever we do in this life, while we're in this life, we're going to sow and we're going to reap. But there's some things in this old life that if we had the wisdom of God, we wouldn't sow the things that we do. We wouldn't sow the things that we do, because here I am at 63. And I'm starting to suffer some things that I did when I was a young man. And when I say that and stuff, I'm talking about I'm seeing people coming along behind me, people that I love that are family members, and they're doing the very same things that I did. Now, if you don't count that reaping what you sow, I don't know what else you'd call it. And what you wind up doing, you wind up praying and said, "Lord, help them that they don't continue in this path. That they don't get to where I am now. And they're suffering for what they've sown." I'm going to read you some scripture out of 2 Samuel. This is getting a little bit away from the lesson. Second Samuel 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. And this is where David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet, the Bible says in verse 7, Nathan said to David, said, "Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel." He said, "I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." Now we're talking about David. At a period of time when David was thinking after David's own thoughts. God had took him from the sheep pen and made him king over Israel. And the Bible says he delivered him out of his enemy's hands, the hand of Saul, because Saul was going to kill him. He knew that the hand of God was on David. And he knew that the hand of God had left him. And he was jealous over David and he was going to kill him. And God delivered David out of that. And here he is, he said, Nathan's telling him, he said, "This is what the Lord has said to you." He said, "I've delivered you out of your enemy's hands." He said, "I have given thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom. I've given you Israel and Judah." And listen to what he said. He said, "If that had been too little, I would have given you more. But you disobeyed me. You went against me." He said, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." He said, Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken thy wife, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, to be thy wife. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, "The sword will never depart from thine house." He said, "David, because you thought wrong, and because you acted on those thoughts, and you done wrong and evil in my sight," he said, "the sword is never going to depart from your house." He didn't say my sword, he said the sword. He said, what you've done, you're going to have to answer for from here on out. Now listen, we're talking about God. Now when I grew up, God was a forgiving God. But He's also a very jealous God. And the Bible tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not something for us to play with. We are nothing. We are nothing. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And Nathan, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So we listen to what the scripture says. God forgave him for his sin, but he had to live with what he had done. There is no getting away from what we do in this old world. It is a serious thing, people. This is a serious thing that we're talking about when I'm talking about the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God in our lives every day in everything that we do. We don't just need the wisdom of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. We need the wisdom of God when we're away from this church house and when we're out in this world. Because let me tell you something, the devil is going to be doing his job. He's going to be tempting you for everything that he's worth. Now I'm going to share this with you and stuff because this right here was a part of my life. I can't tell you about your life, but I can tell you about mine. The good Lord blessed me for a while and stuff. I taught Sunday school for several years. And the church where me and Jane were going, they had, what do you call them things? Huh? No, not training union, baby. What's that thing? Conference. I couldn't even remember that. And when they would have conference, they'd get argument up. Well, that tears my nerves up. I don't believe you ought to be in church and be arguing. I don't believe that. Now, and another thing too, we talk about having business in church. This is a church house, not a business house. And if you let the Lord do what He's supposed to do, the Lord take care of His own business. He don't need our help. He needs us to do what we need to do, pay our tithes, to do our prayers, to worship Him, honor Him, praise Him, and I promise you that the Lord will take care of His own business. He don't need our help taking care of His business. All we are is servants of the Lord, and that's what we're supposed to be. And this rocked on for a couple of years, and I said, I've had enough of this. But you know what I'd had enough of? I'd had enough of the Lord for a while. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Now listen. People was calling me from churches on Youth Day for me to speak at the church on Youth Day. Now I wasn't advertising. I was just getting called. And Jane tell you, their churches called me way over in Alabama. I'd never been to that part of the country. The Lord was trying to use me. And when I decided that I'd go with my own fleshly thinking and my own way of thinking, then the devil was sitting out there waiting on me. And when the Bible says for us to cast aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, he was sitting out there waiting on me with that sin, and I had it on every corner of me and every side of me, and every time I turned around, there it was. And I'm telling you where you'll wind up being if you get away from the Lord. And don't think you can't do it. Because this whole road that we travel in this old world is a rough old road. It's a rough old road. And we're striving to walk a straight and narrow way, and we're walking in what? In this old flesh, and it is sinful by nature. It is sinful by nature. That's the reason we need the church. Listen, we need a place to come in out of the world and pray and worship the Lord and hear the preached Word of God under the power of the Holy Ghost. I told Brother Ken, I said, since I've been coming here, I ain't heard a bad message. I ain't heard one, but now I can tell you something. If you want to get up and read a little sermonette or something like that, I will sleep on the front bench. Jane will testify to that. She said, I broke a lot of his ribs waking him up. I'll do it. I'll flat out do it. I've got to hear the preached Word of God, and I've got to hear it hard because I need my feet stumped. And that's what the preached Word of God is going to do. Is it going to be amen or oh me? And if it's an oh me, we got a place up here we can come and pray. Ain't we, people? We got a place we can come and pray and gather around an altar and seek God. But I'm sharing that with you just to let you know how quickly you can get away from God by following this kind of mind, this kind of wisdom. This kind of wisdom right here. Every day that we live, we need to seek God's wisdom. The Bible says in verse 19 of Ephesians 4, He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Lasciviousness is lust. Said, who being past feeling... Being past feeling. I want to look at that just a little bit. Let's go to the book of 1 Timothy. And I told Jane the other night, Brother Ken was preaching. When he was preaching Brother Patrick's service, I said, he's getting into the lesson. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, especially, that in the latter times, these days that we're living in, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And listen, we read something here in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 14, he said, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Now, we be no more children, or we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of man. But he said that we be tossed no more to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or the tricks of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And here Paul says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now the Bible's talking here about having their conscience seared so that they don't have any feelings. Now we've all been raised a certain way. If you was raised like me in a home that was so very, very strict, that your conscience really bothered you on a daily basis. Because this old flesh is all the time looking for something of the flesh. And so you had a conscience inside you, and that conscience would bother you. But the Bible's talking about having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Being beyond feeling. That's where the mind of man can take you. It can take you to the point where you'll get so cold and so indifferent that you won't feel anything. And that is a fearful thing right there. That is a fearful thing. The Bible goes on to say in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, he said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now listen to what the Bible says. He said, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now listen, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now the Bible is saying here, if our heart condemn us, and I believe that's leaning a little bit towards your conscience right there. He said, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Now, we may have convictions as a person before we are saved. And we may have that conscience that bothers us before we're saved when we know we do something wrong. But the Bible is talking about here, says God is greater than our hearts. And once we are saved by the grace of God and sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, God will certainly do more talking than our conscience will. He'll certainly let us know when we do wrong. But the Bible says here, says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So the Bible tells us that we can't be past feeling if we allow this old mind. But now listen to what verse 20 of chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians says. He said, but ye have not so learned Christ. Bible saying here, this is not what you have learned in Christ. These things are not. But the wisdom of God and the wisdom of Christ is different than the wisdom of man. Said that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Listen here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Said you put off the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Listen to what it's saying right there. That this way of thinking, this mindset of man is corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and that is what the devil wants to do with you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to draw you away of your own lust. He wants to entice you. He wants to get you away from God. There's a couple of things happen right there when he can get you away from God. First of all, when he gets you away from God, God can't use you because you're out of fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship. God can't use you. God can't use you. So what are you going to do and stuff in a situation like that? You're just going to blend in with the crowd. Here's another thing that's going to happen to you. You're going to hurt your testimony. Now, I'm not talking about things that I think to be. I'm talking about things that I know that are a fact. Because this is what they're going to say. I've said this with you before. They'll say, well, if that's a Christian, the woods is full of. There's a guy sort of answered that for me one time and stuff. Somebody had said something. We was up here at camp meeting. We was up on the other side of the church here and stuff, outside, having camp meeting. And somebody said something to me coming from another church. I really don't know. I knew him more from where I work at. And there was another guy standing out there with him. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you know old Lee. He said, he's a bootleg preacher. And I've thought about that a lot of times and stuff. When he said a bootleg preacher, I said, Lee, there you are in the woods again. In the woods with other Christians and stuff. He said, so tell the truth of God why you're in the woods. Tell the truth of God why you're in the woods and help to bring some of them out. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pick one another up as we go along through this old life. We're not supposed to knock them down. We're not supposed to run over them. We're not supposed to make fun of them. We're not supposed to mock them. We're supposed to lift them up and carry them on, just like the Lord carries us. But the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now I want to look at some scriptures right there in the book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And if you do that as a living sacrifice, if you turn your body over as a living sacrifice, you're going to be offering everything to the Lord. That includes your mind. So we're going to need to be seeking the Lord's will for every part of our being, that the Lord will have His will and way in our lives, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now listen, which is your reasonable service. The Lord saved your soul because He loved you, and we owe the Lord. The Bible says this is our reasonable service, to present ourselves a living sacrifice. I can agree with it, disagree, it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. I'm telling you what the Bible says and what is true. This is our reasonable service, church, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is the verse I'm looking at. It said, be not conformed to this world. And like I said and read a while ago, this world accepts pornography. The Bible tells us as Christians not to be conformed to this world, or to be likened to this world, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Bible tells us for us to renew our mind, to change the way we think, to change the way we act, and to present ourselves this living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Brother Mike, I'm going to stop right there. I appreciate your attention tonight.